It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, time where we get together with Cynthia Hauswinder and Janet Manko from the Lakeville Journal. We take a look at stories that they're covering and stories that might even possibly be coming up. And I do believe we have both on the line right now. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
There we go.
Excellent.
A perfect transition this morning.
Timing.
Well, we can go right to the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and it's a picture that I used, and it's just a great picture. You've got a great story, Cynthia, that you put together, and the title is right: "A Giant Is Now Gone." Ed Kirby.
A very long story, and I was emailing with his daughter Mo this morning, and said, you know, that article could have been 10 times longer. There's so many people who knew and loved him just in our little towns, but all across the country, a guy with so many interests and studied each of them to perfection, and on top of it was just the nicest, most gentlemanly person. So truly a giant is gone, and you know, we talk a lot about the way that our community is changing as new people are coming in, and it's a shame that people won't have him as an example of really how to live a beautiful life in Litchfield County.
You know, it's one of those things, and how much of an influence Ed Kirby had in my life. I mean, I went to school with Ann. I knew all the children, all the brothers and sisters. Of course, Ed was a baseball coach to coach my brothers. Ed was also a principal that had to deal with me a lot. Ed knew my family. And on top of all that, he was just an amazing resource for geology, historical information here, but also a great scout for Major League Baseball, and then his adventures out west with Jack Mahoney and Barkley Prindle. Just truly an amazing Renaissance man.
Right, and a guy who, you know, lived to 93, and we're all heartbroken to lose him, but a guy who didn't waste a minute of the time that was given to him.
Nope, absolutely not. You know, it's just... You're right. It's the changing landscape of our pillars of our communities that has happened over the past several years is jarring to everybody when you lose somebody like Ed.
And I want to note, because we don't usually stop at the obits, but we lost another great Sharon person this week too, which is Bonnie Akjar,
yeah.
And another person who contributed so much to the community and really sort of lived the way that, you know, and a different kind of person than Ed, but really very much a person who just gave and gave and gave. And
ever since I've been in radio, whenever Bonnie comes, Kaz, no matter where I've been, whether it was at the original WKZE or WQQQ or here, you could count on Bonnie to come in the back door and always bring the news and information,
yep,
about what's going on with the bakes and stuff with Legion. She just totally committed, like her husband, to our local community. Yep.
Right. And we have to, you know, for the spouses, this will be a very difficult time for Mary Kirby, who was in Ed's class and is, you know, same age, and also for Bonnie's husband, Ray.
Yeah. Absolutely, but you're right. It's the full spectrum here. When you lose community members that are so tied to the community, we'll move on here just a little bit, and that means I want to go over to the Lance Christensen story. Cold air, sunny skies, and this finally, after a couple of years in a row, this is a good year for ice fishermen.
It's funny, this has also been a good year for ice skating, apparently, because it's been pretty cold and it hasn't been that windy, because you never want to have that ripple on the ice. But I'm always nervous about going out, and I'll just say, and I know you'll say this too, people always fall into the lakes because there are patches,
yeah,
where springs bubble up or where the birds sit on them. But Lance went out to Kent. I had asked him to go out and look around in South Kent. I think it's called Hatch Pond. And that's normally a place where people go out. And I've been there I feel comfortable walking out on the ice when it's about 6 or 7 inches. So Lance went out, and I think they said it was 5 inches deep at that point. And I'm going to guess it's a little thicker at this point now. But we have seen people out ice fishing in New York State and here in Sharon at Mudge Pond and other spots. So I hope everybody brings out those little, what do they call those little ice picks? Bring your ice picks.
Augers? I have no idea. But all I know is that ice, the weather has changed so much. There used to be a ton of ice fishing contests as fundraisers in our area.
Yeah.
And they started to thin out about 5 or 6 years ago because there just wasn't enough consistent ice. But this year it's different, and it looks like it's not going to change for the foreseeable future.
People used to skate on the Housatonic.
Yeah, that's right. Can you imagine that?
But also there's a couple of town ice. So that normally the private schools generously open their indoor rinks for public skating, but of course there's none of that this year. But there are a couple of outdoor rinks. The town of Salisbury has frozen over a rink. I think Canaan is frozen over there. Goshen, I believe, has one. And people are, of course, invited to come out with their masks on. This is, but on most years recently, the ice, even though you're only talking about an inch or so of ice, there really hasn't been enough cold weather to freeze it. But this year, there seem to all be frozen.
All right. Another story that we're following, and I registered this morning via to the state of Connecticut. The COVID-19 vaccine is now available for residents 65 and older. But folks, just understand this. That opens up the door for 300,000 to 400,000 more people. So you might register, but it'd be a while before you can get an appointment. We're lucky here, though, because in Kent with High Watch, it makes it a lot more accessible for people out here.
They're taking out a lot of people, and we, you know, kudos to High Watch, which has, I would say, been somewhat in conflict with the town of Kent over the last couple of years about their expansion plans, and also some conflict over the possibility of a new recovery center coming to Kent. But they really stepped up and have generously been doing vaccinations every day of the week, and have even had some walk-in days. Maria Horn, with great thanks to her, we had a lot of people around here, of course, who are part-time residents who own property here in Connecticut, but they have a New York State driver's license. And we had said to Maria, you know, are these people eligible to get their shot up here? Especially, you know, a lot of the older people have been here throughout the quarantine. And nobody had an answer. And Maria just dug, and she got us the answer, which is, if you have a utility bill or some proof that you own property here, that absolutely is acceptable identification. And the state has reached out to people who are doing the vaccinations to make sure that they honor that. But you do have to go through the login on the website, which is time-consuming and challenging. But everybody that I know who's done it has, you know, once you get through it, it's just, it's tedious. But once you get through it, you will get your appointment. And I was surprised how many people I called on Monday afternoon when I first got the announcement from the state and said, oh, you know, they've opened it up to 65 and older. And I think the three people that I talked to said, I already have an appointment for tomorrow. So it is possible to get in pretty quickly. And keep checking back on those websites because appointments do open up as things happen.
You can also you reach them by telephone and also at 211. But also, you've got in your story about 877-918-2224, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. For those who are not computer literate, you might have to wait on the phone a while, but it might be a lot easier for you that way.
And then, and two of our towns have their recreation and senior services people helping out. I'm sure that all the towns are doing it, but we are definitely aware that Jen Marco in Cornwall and Lisa McAuliffe in Salisbury, and Jen is a genius and helped us out actually with a couple of Salisbury people before we knew that Lisa was doing it. So these are people who have done it again and again and again in the same way that Janet Carlson is able to help people sign up for their Affordable Care Act insurance, because she's gone through that process so many times. She knows what you have to click and what you don't need to click.
All right, and this weekend, COVID or no COVID, Jump Fest is going to go on at Satre Hill, minus the snowball and minus the human dog sled competition, but following all the state and CDC rules to have Jump Fest.
So there's a limit for each of the 3 days, which is Friday night, target jumping under the lights, Saturday, Salisbury Invitational, and Sunday, Eastern Ski Jump Championship, of 400 people at a time, which sounds like a lot of people, but that's a very packed event, and it tends to be very congregant. So, and of course, it's also very, it tends to be icy and slippery there. I'm actually thinking about wearing my snowshoes when I go. But so do try to come out and know that as people leave, you'll be able to come in. The practice jumping is from 11 to 1. The competitive jumping is from 1 to 3-ish every on those two weekend days.
And they can't open up the food shack this year, but they will have food trucks that will be there. And that's probably the line that you're going to have to social distance in and wear masks. And there's no alcoholic beverages. But The show goes on, and congratulations for all those hard workers at the Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
Should be great weather for it.
It looks like one of the best weeks leading into it that we've had in years. And of course, you've got COVID-19 out there. But oh well. One thing you learned from Salisbury Winter Sports Association: nothing stops them. Nothing.
Right. Never Say Never group of all time.
Unbelievable. Patrick Sullivan's story, The Opioid Crisis, Punishing Purveyors of Addiction.
We get a lot of press releases from William Tong, who is our attorney general, and he's one of these very interesting state legal officials like Preet Bharara, who he's very interesting. The causes that he chooses to pursue are very interesting. He does not hold back. It's very clear what his opinion is on different things that are happening right now. And he and a number of other attorneys general from states across the country really went after McKinsey and Company and for their part in the role of the OxyContin opioid addiction crisis, and severely punished, you know, really one of the giant companies in consulting in America. So we just thought that was worth mentioning, since of course the Northwest Corner, like all parts of America, has been hit so hard by the opioid crisis.
On the inside, I did an interview earlier this week with Bill Pond, and you've got a great story that Noble Horizons was one of three senior congregate facilities in the state of Connecticut that reported no COVID-19. He just really credited his staff. They really did just a totally amazing. I mean, they all did a great job facing this, but to be actually COVID-free when nursing homes were the hardest hit is really quite an achievement.
And I'll say my understanding is it's complex. It's not that there was not a single case of COVID in the Noble community, but they kept it out of the main building.
Yes.
I believe they kept it out of the cottages.
They had a couple of employees.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, they had a couple of employees that came down with it, but it was really pretty amazing. I mean, and like I said, they did an amazing job, but basically, everybody from the school systems and all the other facilities have also done a wonderful, wonderful job under a very tough situation.
And even Gear, which had that
little small
spike, did a great job of bringing it back under control and really keeping that campus safe.
That's what I mean. Everybody really has gone above and beyond. So it's we've been very lucky up here. I love this. I love the picture. Stick and puck area helmets required when puck is in use for the skating.
And Santa pointed out they spelled helmets wrong, which I didn't even notice.
So. Hey, you know what?
Right, they got the point across, and
yes.
Obviously
everybody wears those helmets.
Obviously, it won too many times with the puck, but we'll move on from there. Great little story on the changes, and I'm not sure everybody's aware of this, and this is what's great about your story here, about the changes going on in West Cornwall Village and the latest one with the purchase of the Farnsworth Building and possibly a utility store. It's a lot going on in that little town now.
A lot going on, and you probably, like when you say Utzler's store, you probably can visualize what Utzler's was. I've been here since 1993, roughly. I don't think I ever saw Utzler's. I mean, maybe I did, but I don't realize it. But there was a whole different village in Cornwall, which was the town with the covered bridge back when you were growing up.
Yeah, well, the Utzler's was originally owned by the Utzler's, but then great ownership after that as well before they closed. You had Bierce's General Store. You had the Bates Meat Market. Really, when you compare it to nowadays, back then it was a thriving little town. And it's, you know what? Who knows? Well, but there's a lot going on there right now, and they're even trying to open it up more with a septic system to make it better for businesses.
Right? Because you have to give Gordon Ridgway credit, the first selectman. It's not happening by accident.
No.
This renaissance in West Cornwall Village is going on. So many people are active in what's, you know, it seems so goofy when you're like, oh, it's a septic, you know, system committee meeting. But that's a big deal in that little town, as it is in Millerton. If you don't have septic, you can't have businesses, really. And so we have what used to be the Pink House on Main Street that was, you know, kind of in limbo for so long. And now we have new owners who are putting in, I think it's Frank Food and Susan Sicardi are coming in, and they're going to be doing food there. You've got the electric bike store and what used to be Cadwell's Corner and the Wandering Moose. And then an artist named William Betts has bought Barbara Farnsworth's wonderful bookstore, sort of at that little curve in the road, and also purchased some land between Utzler's and the post office, and is trying to get access to the fire station next door and really kind of do something in that little area. It's there's not a lot of buildings there, but what's there is there's a lot that's growing up in it. The local on Saturdays is their beautiful farm market with incredible wool and beef and sheep and eggs and cakes.
And for those who ask why we need newspapers and what newspapers are so important, it's just an incredibly active period for towns because we just talked about what's going on in West Cornwall, but look at Falls Village in Salisbury with affordable housing. And these are all stories that you go to in depth in the newspaper about things that really are – there's a lot going on at this time in an area where normally this time of year is very quiet.
And it's an interesting time to have affordable housing be such a big issue right now after we've had a landmark record year in real estate sales. And I think that most people who are longtime watchers of real estate anticipate that prices will drop again. But we're coming out of a period when prices had dropped and it was actually possible for local people to buy a reasonably priced house. And those days really are gone. You can't buy anything. You can't really get rental very easily around here. So really an important moment for affordable housing. And interesting, in the Salisbury meeting, which was held online, and boy, you know, if you get seven people for a budget meeting, you're lucky, but they had, I think, 160 or something at the last Salisbury meeting. And a group of young people led by Hannah Pooler, a former Lakeville Journal intern and my neighbor, she got a bunch of young people to sign a petition saying, we really want to stay here and we can't find decent places to live. So definitely a lot of passion on this.
You know, it's true. I moved away to get into broadcasting, and I moved back. And I happened to move back a long time ago where I could still find an affordable place to live. But I'll tell you what, for young people that want to grow and thrive in this area, it's really important. And both these towns are dealing with it, so we'll have to see what happens. I want to go to the opinion page, the editorial, maintaining some normalcy in a time that is anything but.
Anything but. And we're going back to SWASA, the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, which, you know, it was not an easy decision for them to say, okay, let's give this a shot and do the e-jumps, Jump Fest during COVID. They want their fans and the skiers, of course, to be safe. And it brings out more than half the town of Salisbury coming out to volunteer to make this event go off. But they said, you know what, we're doing it. I think you both mentioned before how they are a group that has faced so many obstacles over the course of the years and just find solutions every time they are faced with a challenge. So this is another year of challenge, and kudos to them for taking it on and providing an event that is so uplifting every February, because February can be really sort of gray and, you know, unless you're out cross-country skiing every day, there's not as much to do as there usually might be around here. So this is fantastic, and we hope it just goes great. They could, as Cynthia mentioned, they couldn't have better weather, and I think that's the gods shining down on them for doing it. So let's hope that it all works out great.
And how the community supported back. I mean, Willie Hallahan mentioned that they had their ski and swap sale.
Yeah.
Biggest year ever following all the COVID-19 guidelines. They had the White Hart Inn, which always puts on dinner.
The chicken.
Normally, they try to sell 50. Well, because it was done takeout, they sold 90. The public, once again, returns the love incredibly.
It does, and you know, they did it with the program, too. Yeah. Last year's program was 48 pages. This year's program was 44 pages. Incredible that all the support they found from the businesses in this area to support their organization and, get, you know, make it through this year and into the next. So have a great time, all the skiers, all the fans. It's wonderful it's happening.
And it may be February, and it may be a dull time, but you got lots of letters to the editor once again.
We do. We do. We have two poems. I think that's a record. And one from Michael Kaler, It's a Rave. Read it. One from Innes Humphreys, Another COVID Day, which is really quite funny. So if you need a little break and a laugh, by all means, read that one. And we have Affordable Housing, from Falls Village and from Salisbury, and some inspiration and couple of other things on democracy and North Canaan. So, yeah, read them over. I'm so glad, too, that we have space for columnists this week. We have Barujan Frangian on The Legacy of the Chosen One. We have Lonnie Carter, headline, Who is Oiling Their Blunderbusses? You have to read it to get the point. And Mac Gordon on Notable Pets of Our Leaders, which is really interesting because you may sort of know some of this, but he pulls it all together for us on the relationship of pets and national leaders.
We have a couple minutes left, and that means we have a couple minutes left for Compass, Cynthia.
We have there's a wonderful show at Judith Sengelis' Argazi Gallery in Lakeville, and I went over and met Peter Wojtuk, and I think most people know that those giant bowls that are sort of undulating and voluptuous and that are on the lawn at Hotchkiss. They used to be down in Kent also. And I finally met Peter, and he's just hilarious. It's like talking to Walter Matthau or Groucho Marx or something. And so it's an article about his work, which is so interesting, about how he's doing it at a time when he normally is casting in Asia, and some of the pieces in his new show. And we have Steve Katz, who is very interesting. He's one of my favorite performers in the area, was a founder of Blues Project and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And he does a great show where he talks not so much about, like, I was in great bands, but more about, like, here's the history of blues and rock and folk in America. And he can play anything. He can play pop music, he can play blues music, but he really loves, you know, the older American roots music. So a really interesting show coming up in a benefit for Dewey Hall on Saturday, February 13th. And, of course, a lot of us are sitting around the house right now defying the return of bears and putting bird feeders out. And so there's going to be a program between Audubon and Cornwall Library coming up February 20th on what to feed your birds, how to feed your birds. And, of course, we will remind everybody that the bears are going to be back before you know it. So keep an eye on those feeders.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, there's some people around here that the bears have didn't really go into hibernation. There's actually been a video and taken of not many, but a couple of bears still roaming the area because, of course, winter started so late, really, without much snow. So we live in interesting times. There's no doubt about it this winter. We actually have an old-fashioned winter. Unfortunately, it seems to be shoved into the last week of January and all of February.
Well, you know, it really goes till May around here. Like, that's my observation of life in New England, is winter really starts in mid-January and goes to the end of May.
Well, Pat Pagano pointed out something that really, if you look around here the past couple of years, we're basically a month behind. You know, January really comes in February, and February comes in March, with the difference in climate and with the severity of weather. So, but hey, you know what? We've got COVID-19 that we're coming out of. We've got the ski jumps. I don't know if you guys feel it, but I know when I look at the numbers now, because we report the numbers every day, I have an incredible feeling of optimism that over the next 3 months.
Yeah. And I have good news for everybody, which is I just ordered new snowshoes, which are supposed to be here the first week of March, so I guarantee no snow after this.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, of course, you can find all the news at the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News. TriCornerNews.com is the website. And, of course, right here on a Thursday morning when we take a look at some of the stories. Guys, have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. Thank you so much.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. And, oh, of course, we remind you of the Millerton News, tricornernews.com on the web.